Welcome, citizens of Night City, to the Time of the Red. A cyberpunk dystopia of corporate wars, cyber psychos, booster gangs, netrunners, and tech implants, all while society barely holds itself together. This is Chrome Trigger Run.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the session zero of our Cyberpunk Red playthrough. This game has been in the works for a while. I've always wanted to run Cyberpunk Red on stream. We did it as a home game, and it was an absolute blast. So we, after our trip to PAX Unplugged, I got in touch with some of the people at Artosaurian Games. Told them we had an actual play, and Rob Barefoot over there, he was just like, what books you got? And I was like, I've only got these. He was like, there you go, there's a bunch more. So they were so graciously given to us by Artosaurian, and so we had to play. We have to play it on stream.
I am beyond excited. I love the system.
I love the system so much. The system, the setting, everything is just so, so amazing. So it's going to be an absolute blast.
Like, hey, do you want to make dick jokes and be depressed?
This is the place.
That's the setting. That's the setting.
So one of the things that I like to give as a primer here, because there are varying levels of experience here. I'm not going to say who. But one of the things that I like to do is that because we are starting off from session zero, so this is going to be a little bit loose for everybody here, in which we're just going to kind of sit around, talk about the characters we're making, and then I'll talk about the world and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that I like to do is I like to say, when you think of cyberpunk, what is the first thing that comes to your mind, whether it be a movie, TV show, video game, book, even? What sort of comes to your mind when you first think of cyberpunk? And the reason why I want to ask this is because I want to know where in your mind you're starting from. So go ahead around the table and sort of talk about, you know, the first thing that pops in your mind.
Corporate greed.
Corporate career. Yeah, so that's one of the big themes, yeah. Any like movie or anything in particular that sort of like...
I mean, the Edge Runner makes me cry every time I think about it.
Yeah, oh, of course.
But also
yeah.
It's really funny when Adam Smasher smashes Rebecca with his ass.
How dare you?
How dare you? Also, huge
You're
spoiler.
Just getting over that. How dare you?
No, I loved Rebecca as a character to make me cry.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Edge Runner is the anime about this system. That is a perfectly acceptable answer, and it's a good one, because if you've seen it, this is what it is.
Well, honestly, when I was thinking of cyberpunk, like before cyberpunk came out and all that, was Blade Runner. I was kind of like thinking that sort of setting.
Yep.
For me, it's Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a good one. Yeah, Judge Dredd's a good one. Yeah.
I've seen more Judge Dredd than I've seen Blade Runner, but I've seen both, so yeah, I'll go with Judge Dredd too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, so those are good. Yeah, so yeah, the idea that you have is good. So it's a futuristic dystopian thing, flying cars, cybernetic implants, all that kind of jazz. So there's a few things in here that I love pointing out that they have as like inspiration and stuff like that. So obviously, Blade Runner is one of the biggest ones. I think Blade Runner, both of them are some of like the best films like ever. And so that's definitely one of them. Another one is Fifth Element.
That's a good one.
Fifth Element's a great fucking movie, and oh man, that is cyberpunk all the way. Even to the point where they're like focusing on health, and so they give him the tiny little the cigarettes with the massive filter, and like this much tobacco. You know, it's just like this. One of the things is that like everybody is addicted to like some sort of stimulation like that in this, and so it's like it's right up there. Another interesting one that when I explain it, you'll get it, but. In episode 2 of Star Wars, the scene in which they're chasing the assassin down.
Yeah, that's one I was thinking of.
Yeah, so
the question. I was like, that scene.
It's very cyberpunk. If you take out the aliens, that's the one thing is that like it goes into science fiction when you start adding aliens into stuff. But if it's like just the humans and everything like that, that is a cyberpunk scene. You know, there's flying cars. They go to a bar. Some dude tries to sell Obi-Wan death sticks. you know, so
a little heavy-handed, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, but no,
hey, we're not here to talk about critiquing Star Wars.
No,
but that's another podcast.
we could do that in any of
we could be generic like that and talk about Star Wars. In a podcast format. Oh my god, that's never been done before.
Especially by a bunch of white dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys have never talked about sci-fi media ever.
Dude, speaking of Star Wars.
Go on.
Carl Weathers. Carl Weathers died today.
Yes.
Moment of silence for the late, great Carl Weathers.
I was going to say that he has been in the sci-fi scene. Carl Weathers is just a legend, and he has passed, unfortunately. Much love, so blessings, prayers and all that for the family. You know, we lost a great one today, guys. So this session zero is dedicated to him.
Carl Weathers.
So think about that.
That is, that's heavy.
So I want to read the back of the book so that way it'll sort of take where you guys are and it'll sort of frame that more into the setting. So this is directly from the back of the book. Welcome to the time of the Red, Jumba. The megacorporation spent decades wrecking everything, and in the aftermath of their last war, everyone has to fend for themselves. But that's just fine. You can handle it. After all, in a world of vicious booster gangs, rampaging cyborgs, corporate assassins, and nihilistic doomsday cults, there's only one rule. Always take it to the edge. Take the big risk. Get the big rewards. Be the action. Start the rebellion, light the fire. Never drive slow when you can blaze a trail. You're hooked with your Militech pistol to the interface in your brain, upgraded your cybernetic fist with carbo glass blades, and installed cyber eyes that can pierce through the red haze like morning fog. There's a world of opportunities out there, just waiting for the right edge runner. Maybe that's you. And now here's the introduction of welcome to Chrome Trigger Run.
Yay! I'm so excited.
So we are going to go around. So we already decided who was going to go first. So Jed, you have written an entire backstory for your character already.
I have.
So please take it away with who your character is and what they do.
Oh gosh, I had it written down. I should have thought about this before I got too far along. Let's go back to where I'll just read what I messed. Well, I might not read everything I messaged you because. Could come up.
You can give us Spark notes too, just you know.
I can give you the I just want to pull my notes up in front of me, which apparently I don't have. I've already forgotten his name, so I'm gonna come up with a new one on the fly here. Let's go with John Murphy. Wait, is John Murphy the RoboCop?
Murph.
Or is it Alex Murphy? It might be Alex Murphy.
It's something Murphy.
It is Murphy, it is part of the name.
Yeah,
I don't think it's John.
Alex James Murphy.
Alex James Murphy. Okay, I was close.
There we go.
you were startlingly close.
I was startlingly close there with just pulling that out of my butt, which might be because I was thinking about RoboCop in the moment, just a few minutes ago anyway.
Yeah.
That was my backup in case somebody said dread for me. all right, let's go with something better. Let's. You know what? His name's Johnny Rockets. That's what his name is. Johnny
sure.
Rockets.
Yeah.
Named after the burger joint. Burger
Very
joint.
Very nice. Very nice.
No, Johnny. Johnny grew up in a relatively good part of the cyberpunk. He was the son of an executive in the corporate world, the corporate scene. But he grew up watching 80s action movies. Really, really took to those. Really liked watching, you know, Rambo and Predator, and he just really thought that was awesome. So at age 18, he joined the military during the what was the war? Dang it, I gotta find my notes.
I think it's the Fourth Corpo War. I think is what.
No,
it was.
No, it wasn't the Corpo.
Oh, wasn't that
it
one?
Was it was the Unification Wars.
That's what
it was.
Hot sub streaming wars.
Where the I gotta find my notes. Hang on, I've got notes. Just let me find where I sent messaged it to you.
Well, while you're finding that, the this is good to talk about because corporations are so big, they have wars. Mm-hmm. That's how much control they have over things.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the first Walmart v. Target war.
Oh, man. A lot of good millennial white women died in that.
See, Walmart would have the edge because some of them sell guns and Bowie knives.
That is true.
And Target definitely doesn't.
No.
Walmart invested a lot in their sporting goods sections, and they unlocked the extra weaponry.
They lost out on the quality, though.
Meanwhile, Target's Walmart's over here with candles and beige.
Walmart's also got all those warehouses, the Sam's Club warehouses.
True.
So true. Yeah.
Supply chains. They got the resources, man.
Target will have to win Costco to their side.
I was about to say they would have to tag team with Costco.
No, it's whoever gets Amazon. Let's be honest.
Amazon, I don't think would ever partner. I think they would.
We already own the world.
Yeah. What do we need to do?
It's like in the Bible when the devil tries to tempt Jesus with all the things in the world. It's like, dude, I already own this.
Yeah. But I think for Amazon, it would just be them going like, yeah, we don't trust anyone from attacking us from behind, basically. Or they'll just buy the other corporation.
I mean, yeah. Just buy them out, yeah.
So I found my notes. He joined the NUSA Army during the Unification Wars, who fought against the Free States of America, where he was he made his way to the rank of platoon sergeant. But for some unknown reasons, since then he's been kind of off the map. He's kind of after the war, he definitely wasn't honorably discharged. He was he went rogue and joined in with what are called the Nomads, and they are kind of Mad Max-esque road warriors who live outside the city limits and. There's a couple different kinds of nomads, but I think I'm gonna roll for what kind of nomad he was.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna leave all the fun out. So
of course.
We'll leave that out. But yeah.
Okay.
Rockets,
well, I mean, yeah,
we'll see what kind of nomad he is. Hang tight.
How old is Mr. Rockets?
Mr. Rockets, he's like in his. Oh gosh, I gotta think about this. The Unification Wars would have been. He's like in his. Late 30s, early 40s.
Okay.
Yeah.
For
he's
reference,
been around the block for a while.
Yeah. For reference, Cyberpunk Red takes place in 2045. So for anyone that knows about Cyberpunk 2077, it takes place before that. So Johnny Silverhand, who's like the big infamous hero in Cyberpunk 2077, he's alive now.
Right.
So yeah.
Only 21 more years.
21.
I'll have to do some research because I was playing this like it was 2077, and now I'm second guessing my timeline for the Unification Wars.
Hey, so I mean, you know,
it may not have happened yet. I may have to find a different war for him to be part of.
To be fair, people do live longer because of cybernetic enhancements. So the age. Yep. Your age.
Well, keeps... I'm saying the Unification Wars might not have happened yet in 2045. Yeah. I think they happened in like. The 2060s.
Oh, okay,
I might have to find a new war for him to be a part of. But that's fine.
Mr. Rockets needs to find a war, okay?
Yeah, right.
They can't live without one.
It has to match my cannon.
So I don't see the rules for the rolling here. So
oh, I got him. So for Nomad. Let me give a little primer here. So the fun way to roll up a character in Cyberpunk Red is to roll everything about your background. Mm-hmm. So it won't necessarily affect too much when it comes to like mechanics, but this helps build everything out, and it is as crazy as you might imagine. So and every role, so there's different roles. He's going Nomad, so that means that he's going to be sort of the vehicle guy. So the Nomad has every role has their own chart that they roll from for each aspect of their background. So, you're a nomad. How big is your pack? Jed, please roll me a 1d6.
Here we go. That's a 3.
As a 3, you have 40 or 50 members.
Cool.
So now...
I don't have a pack, I have family.
Yeah, exactly. Well, family. So now we get to choose. Do you want to be land, sea, or air based in nomads?
I get to choose this? I thought I had to roll for this.
Yeah. No, it says.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, I like the idea of air, but also I feel like land.
I mean, do you
want to
do
practical.
A one?
I think Land will be more practical. I like the idea of him being part of a Mad Max esque like trucker convoy.
That's fine.
Kind of team of people.
Yeah. So this is a good talking point here. So outside of Night City, which is where this takes place, it is Mad Max out there.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm. It's desert.
Yeah, it's desert. There's nothing out there. It sucks.
The farms are gone. It's all sand.
It's all that. Night City is like Los Angeles, by the way. So outside of this Los Angeles, Night City area, it's nothing. The reason why nomads are out there is because they say, fuck the corpos. We want to live how we want. And that's the
reason.
Also,
it's kind of like I don't know. Did anybody watch Death Race? It's actually pretty good. I can't remember what it was.
I did watch Death Race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was on Peacock, maybe? It's pretty good. But I like the fact that they like kind of ship things in between mega cities.
Yeah, people. Yeah. That's too dangerous to do it on your own.
Very similar to that that plot. I like that show, though. It's pretty good.
All right, so you want to go with Land?
Yeah, I'll go Land, yeah.
Okay. So if on Land, what do you do? Go ahead and roll a 1d10, and this is going to decide what your family does in this Nomad pack.
So what are the unification wars?
It was basically a civil war where different, like, it was like the last, like, well, there was the new USA, basically, which was like people trying to, it was basically two factions trying to reunify the United States, and it all went south.
Yeah, nothing goes according to plan, even halfway.
Yeah.
All right, you roll your 1d10?
Yeah, two.
Two, passenger transport.
Cool. That worked. Cool. Yeah. Tracking here.
Yep.
Just Greyhound buses flying through the desert.
Yeah.
Like those buses from, was it Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Giant shovels on the front of, or giant snow plows on the front.
Exactly. So when we go through this, I'll also talk about the other options here. Mm-hmm. So obviously, for how big your pack is, it can go from a single extended tribe or family all the way up to blood family of hundreds of members or affiliated family made of several blood families, so you can have entire like colonies.
There is a reason corpos choose not to fuck with the nomads.
Yes, because it's difficult. Yeah. Well, on Land, for what you do, there's everything from a go gang, which is just like mercs. You could do a school, a traveling show, or a carnival. Migrant farmers, cargo transport, shipment protection. So it's like, the escort stuff. Smuggling, mercenary army, or construction working. Oh, sorry. So go-gang, I think, is like racers. Mercenary army and construction working means that they just go out and, like, build infrastructure. So they have, like, mobile cranes and everything like that. It's cool stuff. So there's I'll go into air and sea here really quickly because their lists are pretty short. Air is air piracy, cargo transport, passenger transport, aircraft protection, smuggling, and combat support. Sea is piracy, cargo transport, passenger transport, smuggling, combat support, and submarine warfare, which I find to be very,
that's
very...
That's so cool.
That's a cool one, yeah. It's a bunch of... a bunch of nomads.
Submariners.
Yes, submariners. Okay, so next we're going to get into you specifically. What do you do for your pack? Please roll a 1d6.
Right. Six.
Six. Procurement. You go fetch fuel, vehicles, etc. Coffee. I don't know.
Cool.
Other options are... the reason why I'm reading these two is because if you're like... You know what? That actually fits me a lot better. I think I'm going to go with that. The option here is to totally just say, I just want to go with that, and you can pick it. So the other options are scout, outrider, a transport pilot or driver, a loadmaster, or a solo smuggler. Next, we're going to go to what's your pack's overall philosophy? Roll me a 1d6.
Family.
Two. It's more like a family business.
There we go. We're family.
When the memes come to life.
Operates as a fair and honest concern.
Good stuff.
Other options
that tracks with his backstory.
Other options are always working for good. Your pack accepts others. It just wants to get along, and they continuously get worse. Will occasionally slip up and do unethical things, but it's rare. That's number three. Next is willing to bend the rules whenever they get in the way to get what the pack needs. So mostly neutral idea. Mm-hmm. Five is ruthless and self-centered, willing to do some bad things if it'll get the pack ahead. Six, totally evil. You rage up and down the highways, killing, looting, and just terrorizing anyone. You know, cool.
Immortan Joe.
Yeah.
All right. So,
just walk away.
Next, we're going to go for who's gunning for your pack. So this is when it comes to, like, your enemies.
Right.
Go ahead and roll me a 1d6.
All right. 4.
Four is dirty politicians.
That'll work.
Okay, then. Right. Dirty politicians. Why don't you tell me about these dirty politicians? Who is out for you and why?
His dad.
Okay, his dad. Okay. All right.
Yep. He, like I said, he grew up in a corpo family, and when he left for the military, his dad was none too happy. He was supposed to stay and run the business, and he didn't.
Gotcha.
And then after the war, he found out his dad may have meddled with some things that happened to his unit. And after that, he's out to get his dad, and his dad's out to get him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about that family.
Not about that family. I'm about honor. I'm about honorable family.
Emerita.
Okay. So... Next, let's go into life path. You did choose some of your life path stuff. I guess we can skip that for you.
Because you
kind of chose your background, so we can skip that for you. Okay. Did you do stats yet?
I had some ideas for it. I don't know if we want to do that. If you want me to do that on my own time, so other people have a little more time to address it.
Yeah,
I have
yeah, some, that's fine.
Yeah, I know what I was kind of spec into already. Gotcha. Mostly just a lot of driving, a lot of skills. I'm going to specialize into two types of weapons, which would be shoulder weapons and heavy weapons, of course, because it's me.
Because it's you, yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
I'd like to use a grenade launcher in combat if possible in any game. So, you know, I'm going to do that. I'm trying to think of what else I was. I did build a character a couple days ago, so I'm looking at what I had in my mostly, you know, pilot vehicle sea, pilot vehicle ground, pilot vehicle air, a lot of driving stuff. What else did I take?
You had a wicked segue.
Well, that's the cool thing about being a nomad. You get a vehicle.
Yeah,
start.
I played the only other time I played this game, I played a nomad.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm probably we'll get to that. I think that's in abilities later on.
Yeah.
But stat wise, I think I've pretty much built into, and then the other thing I've built into other than driving is tech skills.
Fair, yeah. Yep.
Vehicle tech, weapon tech, I'm trying to think of what the other ones are. I'm scrolling through here very quickly.
Yeah, there's
vehicle tech, I can fix your boat.
Exactly. As a nomad, you have to learn to fix your own stuff because you can't just go to the store.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. So, tech, vehicles, weapons. That seems to be his shindig.
Yeah,
like, you know, he's not well versed enough to be like talking to people. He's not a party face. He's kind of for him, everything is a one liner because he likes action movies, and that doesn't get you very far.
Awesome.
Not in Night City, at least. People are like, Are you for real, man? He's like, I am the law. No, you're not.
You want to go hang out? Get off my plane.
Get off my plane.
Dope. All right. Well, so you got your stats down and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we can go ahead and so if we want, we can move on to the next person. So the next most tenured would be John. So John, I'm going to go down each of the, so we're going to start off with life path for you. So we're going to be building you from the ground up here. So you tell me if you want to just pick something, or if you tell me if you want to roll.
Oh, we can roll. Do you want to hear his name first?
Sure, let's go with the name.
Young gentleman, probably about 29, 30-ish. Real tall, beefcake of a man.
Mm-hmm.
He is a newer face in the Night City kind of mythos. But he is known as somebody who gets stuff done, and his name is Thaddeus Strom.
Thaddeus Strong. I like that. So, wait, so is that... So every character gets a name and then they get a handle. So is Strong like his last name, or is that his handle?
I'll have to think of the handle.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So Thaddeus. So let's go over the first thing here in the character creation is cultural origins. So you can choose this. So I know that sometimes the accents come with stuff that you're just like, I can't even imagine trying to do that accent.
Excuse me.
So what do you think in like your cultural region? Like, where do you think this guy comes from?
German, like probably kind of Germanic descent.
German. Okay. So we're thinking like, let's see. So sort of Western European sort of thing. Yeah. Okay, so in that case, everyone knows English. It's just like the common, language.
Just to give you a heads up why I went Germanic. Strom is the German word for electricity.
I like that. That's good. Strom. Okay, in which case, if you want to go for Western European, mm-hmm. German is one of the languages. So you can take German as one of your languages. But cool. All right. So you have some German background to you. Let's get into your personality. Do you want to roll for this one?
I'll roll for it.
All right. Roll me a 1d10.
Okay. 1d10 coming up. 9.
9 is intellectual and detached. Very German.
Yeah. Persimmon German engineering.
You'll offend all of our German listeners, and they're like, 9 we aren't!
9!
They're all going to be really upset when I try to do a German accent.
Yeah. I heard Mark do one for a very long time. I'm sorry, you're not going to hold up to what he can do.
No, we're not speaking of that.
He's very good at it, though.
Never again.
No. You're so good at it.
Oh.
So let's get into dress and personal style. So this is sort of your general.
This is my favorite part.
This is a funny one. So this is your general clothing style and how you present yourself normally. So if you would like, this is a 1d10 roll twice. So one for clothing, one for hair.
3, 8.
3, 8. So for clothing, urban flash. So it's flashy technological streetwear.
I like it.
This might be kind of what V wears in Cyberpunk 2077, because he's got like it's a cool jacket with like the yeah. glow on the collar.
It's a sick jacket.
Yeah. So yeah, urban flash is what you're going to write down there. Next is, you said 8.
Yeah.
Neat and short.
That works.
Yes. As I said, German. all right. Next is affectation you are never without. So this is sort of a iconic thing that you have always on you.
Gun.
Clearly. everyone's strapped here. Don't worry. Go ahead and roll a 1d10.
For Johnny, it's his fingerless gloves. Or no, it's his mirror shades. I'm sorry.
Mirror shades, yeah.
I almost did fingerless gloves.
But both sound right. 5, you say. Nose rings.
Okay. I'll take that.
Got a few nose rings, yeah. Dope. 2. All right. Next is your motivations and relationships.
Okay.
So this is going to be 2 different D10 rolls.
All right.
Need one for what do you value most?
9.
9 again. Family. You value family.
Yeah, dude.
Family.
Another one?
Family.
Yep, another one, and this will be for how do you feel about most people?
7. Please be cold detached.
People are obstacles to be destroyed if they cross me.
That's the most solo thing I've ever heard.
Nice.
Love it.
Okay. All right. So he's all about family, but if anybody, so the way I see this is that like family is like the most important thing to him. He couldn't give a single shit about anyone else. They are just in the
nope.
way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So next we're going to go into things you value most. What is, who's the most valued person in your life? Roll a D10.
3.
3, a lover.
Damn.
Ah, who's this lover?
I'm scoring.
Who's this lover, John?
You know what? It's a really short girl with bright green hair. Her name's Bailey.
Bailey.
That's good.
Bailey, green hair, very short.
A fucking 6'8" queen.
Okay, so next we're going to get into most valued possession you own. Another 1d10.
Apparently it's Bailey's heart. 8.
A piece of jewelry.
My nose rings.
That's fair, yeah. Yeah. Maybe they were a gift from her. You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So next we're going to get into your background. So this is your original family background. This just says, who are you and where do you originally come from? Were you born with a silver spoon in your mouth, or were you using it to stab your brothers so you could steal that extra bite of dead rat you both found? Please go ahead and roll me a 1d10.
1.
Corporate execs.
God damn it. I don't want to be a corp guy.
I did say you could choose. So if you don't like this, if it doesn't fit, we can pick one.
Yeah, I'd rather not be a corporate guy.
No, that's fine.
Goddamn corpo.
So let me read this and then we can switch it up. But so it says,
this would technically be me.
I know, yeah.
There you go.
wealthy, powerful, and with servants, luxury homes, and the best of everything. Private security made sure you were always safe. You definitely went to a big name private school. Give me an idea of what you're thinking, and then I can kind of reel it into one of these things.
Street rat, just trying to live in Night City.
Street rat. Okay, so there is there's a few different ways to go with this. So there's a gang or family, a savage, violent home in any place that the gang could take over. So you know, you just had a gang family. They moved around. They were nomadic, but in the city, kind of. you were usually hungry, cold, and scared. You probably didn't know your actual parents. You probably didn't know who your actual parents were. Education. The gang taught you how to fight, kill, and steal. What else did you need to know? So that's like kind of like the rough way to do it. Other than that, well, sorry, that's the brutal way to do it. There's urban homeless, which is you lived in cars, dumpsters, and abandoned shipping modules.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Other than that, there's edge runners, which is your parents were also mercs. So there's also there's reclaimers, which is more of a nomad thing. Megastructure Warren rats. You grew up in one of those huge new megastructures that went up after the war. A tiny canapt kibble and scot for food and a mostly warm bed. Some better educated adult Warren dwellers or a local corporation may have set up a school. In this world, there are massive structures that like an entire city could fit into. You could theoretically just live your entire life there. There would be no reason to leave if you had like everything provided.
That city in, I think it's in Greenland. It gets so cold in the winter, the entire city is one giant building.
Oh, that's cool.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Out of those, what are you kind of thinking?
One that lives in the giant megastructure.
Megastructure? All right, so write down megastructure Warren rats.
Okay.
From there, we're going to go on to your environment. This is about how did you grow up? Go ahead and roll me a 1d10.
One.
Okay. One. Ran on the street with no adult supervision.
Hell yeah. Oh.
Works.
Yeah, that's fine.
Street rat.
All right. Next, we're going to get
just into... Just got a letter from Disney.
I know, right? That's why I stopped. Next, we're going to get into your family crisis. So in the time of the Red, the world is still recovering from a world war and other disasters. Chances are something happened to you and your family along the way. What's the story here? Roll me a 1d10.
My traumatic backstory is I was the only street urchin allergic to rats.
I can't eat.
Oh, man, that would suck.
Yeah. Two.
Two. Your family lost everything through bad management.
Ah, shit. Come on, Dad.
That's rough. Okay. Next, we're going to get into your friends. So this is an interesting one. So it's not all grim. Sometimes you link up with people who have your back. So what you're going to do is you're going to roll a 1d10 and then subtract 7.
I was about to say, max of 3 is not great.
No. So go ahead and roll a 1d10 and we'll see where you're at.
I have one friend.
One friend.
And I guess that's my girlfriend. I don't know.
Well, no. So that's different. So there's your lover, and then there's your actual friend. So this guy is your friend.
So your lover could also just be a routine fling, but you guys really don't like each other that much.
That's also true.
It's complicated.
Yeah, right. Mm. on your Facebook page, it always says that
you just get together to plow, and then like you're like, all right, get the fuck out of here.
Get out of my rat warren.
That's the dream. Get out of my rat warren.
I'm covered in hives because I'm allergic to them.
All right,
your fleas out of here. I don't want to mix in with mine.
our fleas don't get along. All right, so for your one person, go ahead and roll a 1d10, and we're going to find out who they are to you.
One.
So it's someone who's like an older sibling to you.
Aw.
Like an older sibling.
It's going to be tragic when they tragically die.
Yes. Yes, it will be. So this older sibling to you, are they actually directly related to you? Or is this sort of like a, you know, they took you in kind of thing?
We'll say it's the guy who taught him how to be a solo.
Okay. All right.
And so, Max.
Yeah. So taught him how to shoot. Okay. So older brother who's just like, you know what, buddy? You're 10. It's time to hold a gun.
Yeah.
They hand you the 9mm.
Here's a joint, too.
Wait, they waited till age 10?
Yeah, what? When they're 5, you at least give them a 22.
Yeah. Let's go into enemies. Enemies are a big part of life in cyberpunk world. You're going to get in someone's face sooner or later, so you might as well find out who they are, why there's beef, and what you can do to even a score. So same thing, roll a 1d10 and subtract 7.
Negative five.
So zero. A minimum of 0. Determine how many enemies you have made. Then for each one, decide who was the injured party. So I guess you don't have any enemies.
Just a nice guy.
Yeah.
You do not have any enemies.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just a really nice merc.
You have no enemies. God, I'm just thinking of Vinland Saga right now. So.
So yeah, you do not have any. So we'll see if it comes up. So yeah. Let's see. So that gets rid of that. Tragic love affairs. So go ahead and roll a 1d10 and subtract 7. This is for your loves.
Perfect zero.
Okay, so it seems Kelly was kind of right about that lover of yours. Seems to get a fling every once in a while.
I'm fine with that.
So yeah, you don't have any former lovers, and this one it's complicated. All right, and then let's wrap it up with life goals. So this is your entire goal in life. Roll a 1d10.
Want to start a frozen burrito chain?
Sure.
Ten.
Ten. become feared and respected.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. All right. So write that down, and then we can move on to the role-based life paths. So we can get into what it means for solos.
All right.
So, what kind of solo are you? Roll a 1d6.
One.
Bodyguard.
Okay.
Yep. The other options are street muscle for hire, corporate enforcer who takes jobs on the side, corporate or freelance black ops agent, local vigilante for hire, or an assassin.
I like those.
Yeah. What's your moral compass like? Roll a 1d6.
Three.
We'll occasionally slip up and do unethical or bad things, but it's rare.
Okay.
The other options here are always working for good, trying to take out the bad guys. Always for the innocent, meaning elderly, women, children, pets. Four is ruthless and profit-centered. You'll work for anyone, take any job for the money. Five is willing to bend the rules and the law to get the job done. Six is totally evil. You engage in illegal, unethical work all the time. In fact, you enjoy it. but you're not that. You're three. You occasionally slip up. Next, let's get into from there. What is
every
your...
once in a while I'll just laser an orphan.
Dang it. next, let's get into what is your operational territory? Roll a 1d6.
Five.
The territory of a particular fixer or contact. So you probably hang around in a certain area in the city because you know that he's got to work for you in there.
I'm some fixer's bodyguard.
Yeah, exactly. Next, let's get into who's gunning for you. Roll a 1d6.
I don't have any enemies, though.
Yeah, but enemies are different than who's gunning for you, though.
Three.
Three, a corrupt lawman or lawmen who mistakenly think you're guilty of something.
That's cool.
I didn't laser that orphan.
We saw it on the cameras.
That's AI generated. It's totally not.
I think he is guilty. Okay. By the way, all of these will come into play. I'm writing them down because they will come into play at some point. All right. Let's. That's it. That's all it is for solo.
Sick.
Because then right after that, it's into the Netrunner. How do you want to do stats? If you want,
I can do them on my own.
You can do them on your own. Okay.
Yeah, we move on.
Okay. So next, I want to go to Mr. Kelly McCoy. The freshest of the group, this will be especially fun.
I know nothing.
You know nothing, and this will be a great way to get into it here. Give me any idea of what you're thinking. I know we kind of gave you a rundown in person of like what each of the roles are, but what are you sort of thinking right now?
Yeah, I'm also running down the life path options in the character builder. So I am pretty sure I want to go fixer.
Okay. All right.
I guess my general ideas for this guy, his name is going to be Norman Hagel.
Okay.
He is going to be 55 years old, which coincidentally I chose at random, which is awesome because he's exactly my age in 2045.
Huh. That's yeah. True.
So I didn't know what year this took place in. It happened to be his birthday is like right around mine. So,
funny.
So he's 55, Norman Hagel. He is North American.
Okay.
Speaks English. Okay. And yeah, he's a fixer, and I want him to be like he's a townie. He's a guy who he lives in the city. He never leaves the city.
Gotcha.
He barely leaves his like neighborhood.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like he is a local. Like he's a local. Like he's a staple of the neighborhood. Like gotcha. What he cares about is his whole identity. When he leaves, he gets super uncomfortable.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, this side of town. It's like the Baltimore versus DC thing. They're like right next to each other, but they're like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I want to do some of these things random and some of them I want to pick.
Sure, sure. So I'll go down and then you tell me which ones you want to pick, which ones you want to roll.
Cool.
So you said North American for your cultural background.
Yep.
So you'll get English as your main language, and then you get to pick one languages you might know. So under North American, it has a wide variety just because North America, United States is a big melting pot. So they kind of lowered it. So they kind of condensed it down to one of the other ones you can pick is Chinese, Cree, Creole, French, Navajo, or Spanish.
Ooh. I guess he'll speak French.
French. We'll see.
That's fun.
Cool. Is that a learned language or is that a taught language?
Learned.
Okay. Okay. So let's get into next. It will be your personality.
What is handle? Is that like your nickname?
Yeah. So the handle is like your nickname. So your last name was Hagel. So like you can make that your handle and then have a different last name.
Obviously, Rockets will be Johnny Rockets's
handle. Yes.
He's just gonna go by Hagel.
He's just gonna go.
Okay.
All right. Ready.
Okay, so for personality, so this is a 1d10 roll.
I want him to be stable and serious.
Stable and serious, okay. So that is number 6. Okay. So dressing.
I more have ideas of what I want him to look like physically. Okay. And everything else I'm more or less willing for the dice.
No,
For clothing, I want to go Bohemian.
Okay, yeah.
So, folksy, retro, free-spirited. He kind of wears dated clothing.
Yeah.
Kind of mishmash. Like, he wears, like an old leather bomber jacket and parachute pants. Like, linen parachute pants. Like, shit like that. Like, he has no style. He just wears old. He just kind of wears old shit.
Yep.
His hairstyle is the toilet seat. He's got male pattern baldness.
Yes. Yes.
What is affectation?
Affectation is sort of like your like signature thing that you have. Obviously this is sort of loose, so you can choose one of these, or you can roll and choose one of these, or if you have something specific that like doesn't fit here, you can pick that too.
Yeah, most of these are, I'd say, things. I'll go random.
You go random.
Fuck not.
Oh sure.
Yeah, I'll go random. Right. We'll see. If it's something I don't like, I'll just be like, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
He's got some shit that he doesn't talk about.
All right.
So what is it?
Roll a d10.
5.
5. Nose rings again.
Okay. Yeah. I'm fine with nose rings.
Yeah. Okay.
When he was young.
Yeah. I just haven't taken it out. Okay. So next we're going to get into your motivations and relationships. Okay. So when it gets into what do you value most? This is a D10 roll.
Okay. I'll go D10.
Okay.
That's a 10.
10. Friendship.
Okay.
Friendship is magic.
I don't got friends. Like, I got family.
he's very close to his neighborhood. He's very into relationships and being plugged in and kind of being on a lot of people's good side. So.
Yeah, yes. Yes, that does fit in with the fixer thing. You know, making this
well known
yeah.
throughout the apartment complex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into how do you feel about most people? So this is a D10 roll.
I go D10. 3.
3. You like almost everyone.
Almost everyone?
Yeah. Well, you can't like everyone, literally. That's impossible. Okay. Some people are insufferable assholes.
Exactly. Don't talk about me like that.
Also, me one corpo.
Like Johnny Rockets.
Like Johnny Rockets. That son of a bitch.
He's a piece of shit.
Okay.
Shut up about family.
I've heard enough. Let's get into what things you value most. What is your most valued person in your life? So this is a D10 roll.
Nope, it's a pet. It's a dog. The dog that literally never leaves his side. It's literally part of his personality.
Okay.
Jake, so help me God, if you kill that dog.
This dog will go everywhere with me. And I mean everywhere. He doesn't leave my side.
Jake is thinking right now.
You are attempting fate here, my friend. This is cyberpunk.
Just walking down the street.
Where?
The dog's gonna die.
The dog is also like a middle-aged dog. He's not a young spry dog.
Oh God!
What breed is he?
He's got like he's like a brown dog, but he's got like the gray on his face.
Yeah, a little gray on the lips. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not like he's still got some get up to him, but you know he's like he's got stretch in the morning.
Best years are still behind him.
Yeah,
he stretches when he gets up.
Thaddeus is one immoral act is just gonna see that dog and then the Doom musical kick in.
I'll have to come up with a good name for him.
I was gonna say, yeah, give me a name.
I'll just go Milo since that was my old dog's name.
Oh, that's cute. I like that. Dog Milo. And you said he was brown with some gray muzzle.
Yeah, he's like a, I don't know, Chesapeake Bay Retriever or some shit.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. It's always a good karma to bring your very loved dog into a gunfight.
He's going to be at my hip almost all the time. I mean, I'll make him run away during fights, but...
You'll be able to tell who the most evil enemy is by the one who goes, aim for the dog.
He's got a dog. Fucking shoot it.
That's the most evil one. Get him.
He doesn't have a leash.
The first one to do that's catching a fucking grenade.
Right.
Exclusively save my grenade launcher shots for anyone who shoots at the dog.
What was it, Jake? I thought dogs were like really rare in Cyberpunk.
They are, yeah. Most animals are super rare, yeah. They continuously get like less rare or like more rare. I mean, so like for instance in Cyberpunk 2077, there is no chicken or beef. If you want meat protein, they have locust farms.
Ooh.
Which is locust. Fucking disgusting.
Nice.
That's where we're going, man. This country's going to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, God. It's just like in, what was it, Snowpiercer?
They did that, yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
that's not terribly off from a cyberpunk property as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, okay, yeah.
Yeah, cockroaches turned into granola bars, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let's get into most valued possession you own. Is
it D10?
Yeah, D10.
Two.
A tool. What kind of tool would this fixer have?
Well,
if you think about it, Kelly, you could be the fixer I'm bodyguarding.
That's true. Yeah.
That's perfect.
I think about a tool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll do.
Is it a magnifying? Is it a magnifying glass?
Right, is it a
magnifying glass? I was thinking like a, I don't know, like an old like a crowbar or something.
Crowbar, yeah.
Okay, I like it. Yeah,
doubles
yeah,
sure. as a weapon.
Yeah,
it's like a small, it's, like you know, like one of those like small crowbars that are. Yeah. Like,
the limited release Supreme crowbar.
Yeah.
I'll go with crowbar for now, unless I come up with something better.
No, that's fine. Yeah, there's like when I was building the deck recently, I was fixing the deck up. Father-in-law has like a little cat paw one. It's only about yay big, but it's got like the perfect things so you can like put it under a nail and like get them out without like.
When you get a good pry bar that's really good at getting nails out, that is a treasured.
Position. Yes, it's one of my favorite tools. It's such a reliable piece. So yeah, okay, so. We'll stick with crowbar equivalent now, and then we can come back to that later. Your original family background. So this is a 1d10 roll.
Three
corporate technicians, middle class with comfortable canaps or Beaverville suburban homes, minivans and corporate run technical schools, kind of like living 1950s America crossed with 1984.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it works. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so now remember, this is your original family background, so it doesn't have to be where you currently are, but this is where you started out, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into your environment. So this is your childhood environment. So this is a 1d10 roll.
10 again.
10 again. In a corporate luxury star scraper high above the rest of the teeming rabble.
Interesting.
That is interesting. So
maybe you crossed paths with Johnny Rockets when he was a kid.
Maybe. So I went from corporate luxury to like suburbs.
Yeah, to like, well, so your original family is that, but they, who knows, maybe your dad or something like that got like a massive bonus, you know, like a huge upgrade to his life,
big promotion or something.
Yeah, exactly,
he invested in Doge.
He's like, guys, this will solve all of our problems.
Okay, so I came from like middle class. Somehow my family got skyrocketed to the top.
Exactly, yeah.
And now I... Okay.
So, next is your background. So this is sort of after origin, after childhood environment, and this is like background. So this is sort of the like the arch to your early family life. Roll a 1d10. This is your family crisis.
3.
Your family was exiled or otherwise driven from their original home, nation, or corporation.
Okay.
So rise and fall.
Yeah.
Rise and fall.
Rise and fall of Hagel.
Steep rise and then hard fall.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah, no, that's good. And that sort of makes sense to me because of the fact that, like, if you had connections like that and maybe you saw your dad sort of do the haggling, you know, with, like, the corporate bureaucracy, yeah, you probably understood what it was like to argue stuff. So, cool. All right, now let's go into your friends. Everyone's got friends. Well, not everybody. So roll a 1d10 and subtract 7. Such a funny number. It's like,
I know. It's like,
roll a 7. D10 and subtract 7?
Yes, correct.
Yes.
-3?
-3. So 0. So you don't have any close friends.
I value friendship and I have no close friends.
Right. Maybe you just want a friend. Be my friend, please.
Good news. You're going to meet 3 other people who will be your friends.
Be the best buds.
Milo is my only friend and he's the only one I need.
Okay. Let's get into enemies. Your enemies. Roll a 1d10 and subtract 7.
The vet keeps upcharging you for visits for Milo.
I hate it when he does that.
I don't have a section for enemies or friends.
You put that in your, if you're using the Red Companion app, you put that in your agent afterwards, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In your agent afterwards.
Your agent is like your cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can put in contacts in there. That's what I was looking at.
Yeah. So.
All right, D10 for enemies?
Yep. So D10 minus 7. Same kind of thing.
I want a tech company to release a legit good phone called the agent because I would switch immediately.
Right.
I got a 2, so -5.
-5. Okay, so no enemies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've played this game.
I live a stable life,
and I swear, like, no one has any friends or enemies.
I know. It's very funny.
It's honestly the safest point to be in. Cyberpunk to be.
I want someone to get like the enemies because there are. If you get one, there are like 3 extra rolls you have to make to find out stuff about them. Like, it's pretty cool.
Oh god.
Yeah.
I can't remember in our game. Was there anyone that had enemies?
I think I invented enemies much like I have in this one.
Yeah. No, I don't think anyone rolled them. Like, we did them like story wise. Yeah, I don't think anyone did. So,
in our first game, we had the. Never mind. We'll get into that.
Okay. Yeah. And so the idea behind this, too, the reason why it's -7 is because not many people stick around most places or like interact that much in order to develop that kind of thing, friendship or. Like rivalry. So if you, the reason why it's so rare is because of the fact that like, if you find someone that like you interact with that much, you're either going to love them and bond with them, or you're going to hate their guts. So that's why it's such like a drastic number to like, you know, subtract from your role. Let's get into your tragic love affairs, Hagel. 1d10 minus 7.
7, so 0.
So 0. All right.
I was really hoping he'd roll a 10 there.
I was hoping, yeah. I was hoping of all things he would just...
What is like, your secret, my dude? How do you do it with that hairdo?
And hey, you know, by the way, these are all things you could just choose. You know, like the obviously the max is like 3, but like if you're like, you know, because like with John's, he has that lever that, you know...
No, I actually like him being... relatively alone, yeah, and neutral and like stable. Like he doesn't have a lot of connections. He doesn't have enemies.
Mm-hmm.
His connections are mostly work and acquaintances.
Yeah.
She said it was either me or the dog, and I chose the dog.
I chose the dog.
Like he goes home and he shares a beer with the dog and like watches TV and falls
asleep. Yes.
My kind of guy.
Red Solo cup.
Okay. So let's get into the wrap up here, for your background anyway. Your life goals, roll a 1d10.
World domination.
Okay, it's interesting. Let's see what I get.
Okay.
10.
To become feared and respected.
Feared and respected.
Hey, you and me share goals.
For a fight.
There's only one of us can.
Yeah.
I like okay. My odds in that fight.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I might change this one. I'm going to go to live down your past life and try to forget it.
That's good. Yeah. Live down your. I mean, you had the rise and fall of the Hagel family, so.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that one.
Okay, cool. All right. So now let's get into the role based life paths. So you are a fixer. Hagel, what kind of fixer are you? Roll a 1d10.
Four.
You supply a regular resource for the night markets, like food, medicine, or drugs. Good guy.
Hmm. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So when we get past a chart that we won't revisit, that's when I'll read the other ones out. So going down the list, you are a broker who deals between rival gangs. Or you procure rare or atypical resources for exclusive clientele. Specialize in brokering solo or tech services as an agent. So you're pretty much just the supplier for, you know, John's character. Number 5 is procure highly illegal resources like street drugs or mil-spec weapons. 6 is supply resources for techs and med techs like parts and medical supplies. 7, operate successful night markets, although not as an owner. There's a whole mechanic to the night market thing, so we will get into that when we actually start playing. Broker use contacts for heavy machinery, military vehicles, and aircraft. Broker deals as a fence for scavengers, raiding cores, or combat zones. Or 10, act as an exclusive agent for media, Rocker Boy, or Nomad Pack. So it's kind of cool. A fixer could literally just be like a PR person.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Hagel, do you have a partner or do you work alone?
Work alone.
Okay. So in which case, work alone. What's your office like? Roll a 1d6.
One.
You don't have one. You like to keep it mobile.
No, I don't like that. I'll get someone else. I'm going to roll again.
All right.
He definitely has a dwelling.
Yeah, I gotcha.
4.
For a spare room in a warehouse, shop, or clinic.
There we go.
Yeah, that works.
That's good.
Yeah. So there's some, like, again, a warehouse where everyone's, like, moving stuff. You just have, like, a corner room. Everyone's yeah. like... Who's that guy? He just rents the place out. All right. So the other options are a booth at a local bar, a booth at a local bar. It's so funny.
Okay. I just kind of like that one.
Yeah. He just puts that little SpongeBob sign out on the table. It's just open for business.
There's always a dog bowl, even when I'm not there.
Got a sign that says, don't feed the dog.
Don't feed the dog. He's already eaten today. Next is all data pool messages and anonymous dead drops. So you sort of work as like a faceless fixer. Mm-hmm. Five is an otherwise abandoned building. Cool. Or the lobby of a Cube hotel.
Actually, screw it. I'm doing booth at a local bar. I like that too much.
I really like that too.
I actually chose that way too much on my app. On the app is my office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Booth at a local bar. So if you want, go ahead and, before next session, go ahead and write up, like, the bar you do this at, you know, the clientele and stuff like that. You can write however much you want for all this background stuff, so.
All the waitresses, whenever somebody tries to sit in the booth and he's not there, they're like, no, you can't sit there.
Sir, you know you can't sit there.
Mm-hmm. My grandfather tells me, because they go to, like, McDonald's with their friends for breakfast a lot because they're old, and he's like, no, there are these guys who go to this diner for breakfast every day, and they tip really well. So the waitresses will literally not let people sit in those tables in the mornings.
That's how you get a reputation. That's how you get a good reputation. God, that's cool. All right, next, let's go into who are your side clients? So this is your regular clients were what again? Procure highly illegal. No, wait. The regular source of night markets. That's what it was.
Yeah, regular sources of night markets.
Okay, gotcha. Who are your side clients? So this is a D6.
Three
corporate execs who use you for black market procurement work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess if you need like some extra change or something like that, you can get some stuff for them that you usually wouldn't do on your day to day. Okay. Other options are local rocker boys or medias who use you to get them gigs or contacts. Local gangers who also protect your work area or home. So you help you get them stuff, they protect you. You know. Symbiotic relationship. Local solos or other combat types who use you to get them jobs or contacts. Local nomads and fixers who use you to set up transactions or deals. Number six is, lastly, local politicos or executives who depend on you for finding out information. Right. Who's gunning for you? Roll a d6.
Two.
Rival fixers trying to steal your clients.
Oh, those fuckers. Yeah. It's probably the youths. The youths that are trying to infringe on my territory.
I wrote in parentheses, youths.
The youths.
Youths.
Boss, you gotta shut up about the youths.
Norman doesn't like the youngins who are ruining the neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. It's just this terrible, terrible place ever since this.
Cleaning up all the good graffiti.
The other options are combat zone gangers who want you to work for them exclusively. Execs who want you to work for them exclusively. Enemy of a former client who wants to clean up loose ends, quote, like you. An old client who thinks you screwed them over, or a rival fixer trying to beat you out for resources and parts. And that kind of works, because if you have people trying to steal your clients, that makes sense, because like you're such like a likable person and stuff like that, that like everyone sort of trusts you, and so that you like everyone goes to you, and they're just like, he's like taking the whole market, like everyone just goes to him for like all stuff all the time, so. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. And that is it for that. So next we want to... Do we want to get into stats?
I'm fine with getting into stats.
Okay. So there are three ways to do stats. So there is the template. So if you go... This is called the street rat method. When using the street rat option, you roll a d10 and then copy the numbers adjacent to the result of that roll onto your character sheet. So pretty much what it is that there's a whole chart here that I have that I'm not going to show on screen, but it's a whole chart that just has all of the stats laid out in 10 different options, 10 different stat spreads. And so you can roll, and then I will tell you what your stats are in that order. So I want to preface this by saying that it is... Even the like lowest, let me go down here for, so for like Fixer, where are you? So Fixer does a lot with the cool stat, okay? Because they, you know, doing the talking and all that kind of stuff. The lowest you can get here is a 5, which is still good. Mm-hmm. So there's no way to necessarily build a bad character using this. It mostly just kind of brings up your baseline and also what you might focus in otherwise. So if you're like, I want to go for long range, but all of a sudden your melee is really good, you're like, okay, I guess I'm gonna grab a katana. So I personally like this because it sort of challenges you to sort of build, you know, build how what's going to work for you.
Yeah, I'll go template. That's fine with me. Okay.
All right, so go ahead and do a D10. And then I will read down the stats going left to right here.
Six.
Okay, so pretty good stats. So I'm going to go... So your intelligence is an 8.
Ooh.
Your reflexes are a 7. That's good, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
Dexterity is 5.
Okay.
Tech is 5.
Okay.
Cool is 6.
All right.
Will is 7.
Okay.
Luck is 7.
Okay.
Move is 5.
All right.
Body is 3.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And empathy is 6.
Okay.
So what does
body represent?
It's your health. It's your health and stuff.
Okay. Yep. I did envision Norman being a heavy smoker. So.
Okay. So
it works.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. Okay. okay. So we're not going to get into weapons and armor and stuff. So just sort of at the end of it, I want to kind of talk about after we get everyone's characters and stuff down, I want to sort of talk about like what you guys can do with stuff. But for now, just sort of fill out some of those like story details and stuff like that and sort of think about with these stats what you think this guy's going to use when he's out on the street on a job. Last but not least, Mark, how you feeling, bud?
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Sure. Yes. So, do you want to kind of go into what you have decided? Because when we were talking, you said you had a few ideas and you were thinking about just filling with, you know, whatever we might need. But we were also thinking about one thing in particular. So why don't you kind of go into that?
Think I'm gonna go with Netrunner.
You're gonna go with Netrunner.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading everything about it.
Love it.
And it's like, It's a lot, but man, it's a lot of fun shit in there too.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. So, Mark, I will tell you that in the world that I would be playing, I would be also making Netrunner.
Oh, good.
I love Netrunning. In fact, in our home game, you guys have went against a guy who he was. I used the character art for that one. He was like a cyber ninja guy. He was like what every Discord mod thinks he is. He was like young, right. Fit, with like a katana, and he was a hacker, and that was him.
He was that cocky son bitch.
Yes,
I think,
yeah.
Right?
He didn't say much, but like the moment shit went down, he like jumped into action, started slicing.
Was that in the museum?
The art gallery, but yes.
Yeah, the art gallery.
Yeah, you fought him in an art gallery.
I blew his leg off with a shotgun.
That you did.
Yes, you did. So let's get into it. See, I want to make a Netrunner, and I'm so excited because Netrunning is so much fun. I'll go through the same thing. I'll go down the same thing that we did for everyone else. Cultural origins. Do you want to roll or do you want to choose?
I think I'm probably going to go East, Western European.
Okay. Any place in particular?
Nothing in particular. Well, actually,
we could be German brothers.
Duh.
Everyone can laugh how your German accent's way better than mine.
No, I'm not doing that. Let's see. We're going to go with, I was actually thinking, like, I don't know, England, if that still exists in this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, but like English heritage, but not like, yeah. Well, we'll find out when we roll, see how this goes. But okay, yeah, gotcha, English is probably going to be it.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, just regular Western European with British background, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With that, the languages you might know, English, obviously one of them, and then you can pick from Dutch, French, German, Italian, Norwegian, Portuguese, or Spanish. European Spanish, obviously.
Yeah. Hmm. Norwegian sounds fun.
Norwegian, yeah. Okay. Next, let's get into your personality.
What are you like?
What do you like? 1d10, or you may pick.
Oh, I'm definitely rolling for everything here.
Oh, okay.
That is a 2.
2, rebellious, antisocial, and violent. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Already starting good as a netrunner.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, that's netrunner through and through. So the other options here are shy and secretive. 3 is arrogant, proud, and aloof. 4 is moody, rash, and headstrong. 5 is picky, fussy, and nervous. 6 is stable and serious. 7 is silly and fluff-headed. 8 is sneaky and deceptive. 9 is intellectual and detached. And 10 is friendly and outgoing. Rebellious, antisocial, and violent. I do like that one. That's gonna be a fun one to roleplay.
Fun shit.
Dress and personal style.
All right.
So D10 for clothes, D10 for hair.
Oh, God. 7 for clothes.
7 for clothes. Bag and lady cheek.
God damn, every time. I will take it. And 7 for hairstyle.
So for bag lady chic, in parentheses, this is homeless, ragged, vagrant. So he's a net runner that looks like a bum.
This is literally the perfect one for Mark.
I shaved my beard. I look like I belong.
I'm going for homeless man chic.
All right.
Bag lady chic, please.
Bag lady chic, yeah. What'd you get for hairstyle? What was the number?
7.
7 for the... You get 7 for both?
I thought I said 6 for... Oh, wait, no, 6. 6 was hair.
Oh, 6 was for hair. Striped.
Striped.
Striped, yep. So okay. Either like buzz or, you know, something similar.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking like striped, like dyed.
I have a question.
What?
There are like enormous amount of skills and I'm very overwhelmed.
That's fine.
What do I do?
We can get into that. So after we do this, we'll pick skills. We'll sort of talk that out.
Okay. Good. I got scared.
I know. It is a lot, and you won't use all of them, but they want to make sure that they have everything covered. So, affectation you are never without. D10.
D10. A 10.
A 10. Strange contacts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I already know. He's going to have, like, those dragon-looking eyes.
Oh, hell yeah.
You fucking weeb!
I see you played Elden Ring.
I am the Dragonheart.
I am the Dragonheart.
The third finger.
That's where it goes.
Okay. Next is motivations and relationships. What do you value most? Roll a d10.
Dragons.
God, I hope so.
Clearly dyed contacts.
4.
For honesty.
Well,
okay. Wholesome nerd.
Well, remember, he's antisocial, so he could just be, don't fucking lie to me.
Don't fucking lie.
All right, and how do you feel about most people? Roll a d10.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
2.
2. I stay neutral.
That's boring.
It's also worse than a fence sitting weeb.
It's not that it could literally be like if there's like a shootout and like somebody's dying, you're just like, not my problem. Nah.
I might want to change that one, actually.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, yeah, go ahead and change it. What are you thinking? Here, I'll go ahead and read the list.
I hate
here.
Almost everyone, okay?
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I see that now. What's up? Yeah. Let me just re-roll it.
That's fine, yeah.
Let's see. Five?
Five. People are tools. Use them for your own goals, then discard them.
Oh, shit. That's
real awful. Team player.
God, I am.
Well, yes, until their usefulness is done. Mm-hmm. So let me go down this list here. What do you want? What do you value most? Is the list goes money, honor, your word, honesty, knowledge, vengeance, love, power, family, friendship. How do you feel about most people? The list goes, I stay neutral. I like almost everyone. I hate almost everyone. People are tools, use them for your own goals. Every person is a valuable individual. People are obstacles to be destroyed if they cross me. People are untrustworthy. Don't depend on anyone. Wipe them all out and let the cockroaches take over. Or, people are wonderful.
I love that last.
Where's that guy in Night City?
I know, right? He doesn't last very long.
I was about to say, the guy that dies in the first 10 seconds.
Guys, maybe these booster gangs aren't that bad.
Friendship is magic.
And then they shoot him.
Yeah, what is this magic you speak of?
They specifically shoot him first.
What thing do you value the most? What most valued person in your life? D10.
And...
10. No one.
Nice.
It's all coming together.
Oh, boy. It's because of my personality.
Yeah. Okay. Most valued possession you own. Roll a D10.
Two.
Two. A tool.
So yes.
Is there a Netrunner?
Your input jack.
Yeah. Yeah. Netrunner. It could be your soldering tool. You know, it could be...
It's my gold-plated network charger.
Right, right.
It makes it go faster.
It's my Intel card.
It's my Razer 350.
It's my Razer 3. Yeah, so just think of a fun tool that you would use. Okay.
GTX Titan.
GTX Titan 9000.
It costs roughly $35,000.
Sure. Eddies. We call them Eddies here.
Eddies, yes.
Original family background. So this is your the original family background. So roll a 1d10.
Eight.
Eight. This is Megastructure Warren Rats.
Yep.
Hey, childhood friends.
Yep. We will see each other at some point as we find... kibble and scoop for food.
You stole my rat.
Stole my rat. That's my rat. Oh, God.
Are you still good with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that, actually. I think last time, I'm trying to remember what I had. I think I... Was it urban homeless? I think I had
Yeah,
urban
I think it was urban homeless or something, yeah.
I just slept near bars.
Yeah. So I'll go down the background. I'm not going to go in the description because that's quite long. But backgrounds are corporate execs, corporate managers, corporate technicians, nomad pack, ganger, quote, family, combat zoners, urban homeless, megastructure Warren rats, reclaimers, which are like they show up to like deserted ghost towns and like take it over, and edge runners. So, right. Your environment. What was your childhood environment? Roll a D10.
Three.
In a nomad pack, moving from place to place.
Hmm. Well, there they go. Well, there's my inn. I was kind of wondering how I was going to connect to this group from living outside the city, but there we go.
Well, that explains the rebellious, antisocial, and violent behavior, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you picked that up from me.
You punk.
Okay. Next, we get to your family crisis. Roll a 1d10.
1d10, go. Five.
Five. Your family vanished. You were the only remaining member.
Oh, God, it's all coming together.
Hey, you got a family with me, okay?
But I hate everyone. People are really useful.
You're my family until I don't need you anymore.
That's gonna be who I am. I'm gonna be that guy who's really annoying who keeps coming to check on you. You're like, please leave me alone. I would like to be alone. And I'm just.
I brought you a 50-pound brick of ramen noodles.
Spread it on the counter.
Acceptable. Leave it there.
It's acceptable.
I'm out of my house. And yes, I will eat that.
Your bank account is fine for now.
So let me read through childhood environment. Down the list is right on the street, no adult supervision. Two is spent it in a safe core zone walled off from the rest of the city. Three is nomad pack moving from place to place. Four is nomad pack with routes in transport, such as ships, planes, caravans. Five, in a decaying, once upscale neighborhood, now holding off the boosters to survive. Booster gang, specifically. six, in the heart of the combat zone, living in a wrecked building or other squat. Seven is in a huge megastructure building controlled by a corp or the city. Eight, in the ruins of a deserted town or city taken over by reclaimers. Nine, in a drift nation, a floating offshore city. That is a meeting place for all kinds of people. And 10 was the luxury star scraper. Backgrounds are as listed. Your family lost everything through betrayal. Two was bad management. Three was your family was exiled or otherwise driven out. Four, your family was imprisoned and you alone escaped. Five was your family vanished. Six is your family was killed and you were the only survivor. Seven is your family was involved in a long-term conspiracy organization or association, such as a crime family or revolutionary group. Eight is your family was scattered to the winds due to misfortune. Nine is your family is cursed with a hereditary feud that has lasted for generations.
Hatfield McCoy's in the future.
That was our home game.
Hatfields and the McCoys in the future.
10 is you are the inheritor of a family debt. You must honor this debt before moving on with your life. Okay. Friends for the antisocial person.
Yes.
Roll a 1d10, subtract 7.
You never know. I could have some.
Please roll a 10.
Other shitheads. And no. God. I rolled a 1, man. I got -6 friends.
-6 friends.
You'll always have family with me, though.
You're not my friend. But we're
get the
lucky.
Fuck out of my house!
That's 100% going to be our relationship, as I said, asshole.
Since nobody got it, I will read them off, because they're fun. Friends' relationship to you, like an older sibling, like a younger sibling, a teacher or mentor, a partner or coworker, a former lover, an old enemy. Oh, old enemy to friends. They're like a parent to you, like an old childhood friend, someone you know from the street, or someone with a common interest or goal.
Dang, I want a Vegeta for my character.
Right. Next, we get to your enemies. Roll a 1d10, subtract 7.
This is where I this roll is, a 10.
I feel like you have to have an enemy.
I know, right?
No, I rolled a 2.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so none.
I have -5 enemies.
-5 enemies. Okay. So let me get into, I'll get into this because, like I said, it's 1d10 roll and then following ones to figure out who and what they are. So the enemy list is ex-friend, ex-lover, estranged relative, childhood enemy, person working for you, person you work for, a partner or coworker, corporate exec, government official, or a booster ganger.
I did have an enemy in my first game. That's right.
Yes, yes.
It was the assistant that took my company.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
He framed you, I think. Right.
Yeah. He framed me for wrongful pharmaceuticals or something. Like
right.
That and stole all my money.
He framed me for being a furry.
Probably.
So the next thing that comes up is what caused it or who's been wronged. And so this one you can choose or roll, obviously. The list is cause the other to lose face or status, cause the loss of lover, friend, or relative, caused a major public humiliation, accused the other of cowardice or some other major personal flaw, deserted or betrayed the other, turned down the other's offer of a job or romantic involvement. Seven is, you just don't like each other. Eight and nine is, one of you was a romantic rival or one of you was a business rival. And 10 is, one of you set the other up for a crime they didn't commit. And then this is where it gets sort of cool. It says, what can they throw at you? So this is how they attack you. And so this can be in various ways. So just themselves, even they won't go out of their way. Just themselves, even they won't go out of their way to do anything to you. Just themselves, so if they see you in the street, they might pick a fight with you. Just themselves and a close friend, they call friends to come beat you up. Themselves and a few, 1d6 divided by two friends. Themselves and a few, 1d10 divided by two friends. An entire gang, 1d10 plus five people.
Oh.
The local cops or other lawmen, they will call the cops on you if they see you.
Nice.
A powerful gang lord or small corporation. A powerful corporation or an entire city or government or agency.
Jesus.
I want to know who rolls that and what the GM does in that situation.
I know. God.
Okay. So. Alrighty. That was that.
That last one was basically Bubble Boy from SpongeBob.
That's so true.
Burned our crops.
so one thing that we didn't get to, which is sweet revenge, which is what are you or they going to do about it? So this is sort of like, what's the sort of interaction between you guys? So the list goes here. You avoid the scum or go into a murderous rage and try to physically rip their face off. Backstab them indirectly, verbally attack them, set them up for a crime or other transgression they didn't commit, or set out to murder or maim them.
So for my character, I talked about he hates his corpo dad.
So
anytime he comes to the city, he purposefully goes to the front of the building and just rips mad donuts in front of the building and fucks up the concrete and then rolls out.
Is that my son again?
Is that my son out there? Yep, he's out there again.
Can Thaddeus come? That sounds fun.
He's doing sick donuts in the parking lot.
Now you just pull out a rocket launcher and shoot the building.
God damn it.
It's the second time this week.
We replaced that sign like 8 times.
We replaced the receptionist twice already.
Stop killing my receptionist.
Stop killing the receptionists.
Okay, tragic love affairs. 1d10, subtract 7.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh my god, man, I'm rolling low. 2.
All right. Well, so this is how many tragic love affairs you've had, and then use the table below to see how each of them ended. So this is not a current thing. So, John, your lover is still there. This is what happened to a previous lover. So these are in order. Your lover died in an accident. Your lover mysteriously vanished. It just didn't work out. A personal goal or vendetta came between you and your lover. Your lover was kidnapped. Your lover went insane or cyber psycho. Probably the worst out of all of them.
Yeah.
Trigger warning. Trigger warning. Hold on. Your lover committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Your lover was killed in a fight. A rival cut you out of the action. Just fucking stole your girl.
Damn.
Or your lover is imprisoned or exiled.
I would like to think that like there's a secret menu and one of them's like your cock was too big or something.
That's John. That's number 3. It just didn't work out.
Damn it.
Just have to read between the lines.
You tell me why it didn't work out. I have a huge penis. Clearly,
yeah. That's what I would say, but secretly it's just because I'm a horrible person.
All right. So the wrap up for life path is life goals. Roll a 1d10.
Ready. 4.
4. Cause pain and suffering to anyone who crosses you.
I want to hack the Liberty Bell.
I will hack the planet. Damn it.
Hack the planet.
I'm going to hack the crops.
Once I find out that biomechanical code, I'll get it.
Oh my god.
All right. So life goals are written as, one, to get rid of a bad reputation. Two, gain power and control. Three, get off the street no matter what it takes. Four is cause pain and suffering. Five is live down your past life and try to forget it. Six is hunt down those responsible for your miserable life and make them pay.
Ooh, that's me.
There you go. Seven is
get sick burnouts in the parking lot.
Exactly. Take this down. Seven is get what's rightfully yours. Eight is save, if possible, anyone else involved in your background, like a lover or family member. So it's literally like a rescue mission for your, that's like your life goal. Nine is gain fame and recognition. 10 is to become feared and respected. All right, so next we are going into Netrunner backgrounds. So Netrunner, there we are. Oh, did we talk about your name? I don't know if we did. Well, name and handle, actually.
Yeah, I'm still thinking of a name. I was actually thinking of, for the tag.
The handle.
Of Kudzu.
Kudzu, okay. Okay.
Because it's a invasive plant.
Right.
Oh, that's cool.
Kudzu. So,
and so it's kind of like, oh, crap, you know, the network's jammed. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I dig it.
I don't know how things work.
No, you could have a lot of fun with that, because if you're going for like an invasive plant thing, like there are, we can get into this, but like Netrunners can leave viruses.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so you can see, you can have like your own like kudzu virus that, like, yeah.
It's like the kudzu virus. It's like the real virus that I think some people got, that it's like you open it up and it's just the file doubles over and over and over again, fire, and it just bloats your memory and just,
it's just all of a sudden,
and your computer just crashes.
Yeah.
Another good version of that, if you're going for a plant, would be lily pad, because those things are terrifying.
Yes. Lily pad could be a virus.
Yes, true. Well, so your Netrunner, what kind of Netrunner are you? Roll a 1d6.
A cool one.
All of them are.
One four. That wants to go to the moon.
What did you get, Mark?
Four.
Four. Just like to crack systems for the fun of it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. The other options are freelancer who will hack for hire, a corporate clone runner, quote, who hacks for the man, a hacktivist interested in cracking systems and exposing bad guys, part of a regular team of freelancers, so you got your big old land party guys, or hack for media, politico, or lawman who hires you as needed. Do you have a partner or do you work alone?
I guess it wouldn't make sense to really have a partner, but I like to think that if it's anything with his personality wise, that there's maybe like one other person that is kind of similar to him.
Okay.
That he trusts, but it's like trust for work, like nothing
right,
else,
right, right,
and that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I dig that.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of the YouTuber, but I watched a YouTuber once. He was big into computers and stuff, and he said when he was 12 years old, he accidentally hacked into the website of the bank that was across his street. And when he realized what he did, because he was like 12 at the time, he just freaked the fuck out.
I was, oh my god, oh no.
Dude, you can make some bank right now.
How do you accidentally do something like that?
I have no idea. I don't know enough about computers to know that.
Maybe it was IP scanning and he just happened to get
If you're just messing around with, like, you know, IP stuff, like, you could potentially just, like, get into stuff.
And that's when you start going, like, ooh, what's this do? And you just start messing around. And
yeah,
like,
exactly,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, that didn't look good. Okay, so do you want a partner?
Yeah.
Okay. If you have a partner, who are they? Roll a 1d6.
Five.
A secret partner with mob/gang connections.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay, so this list is goes family member, old friend, possible romantic partner as well. The cool one, which is secret partner who might be a rogue AI.
Oh, that's cool.
That's actually sick as fuck.
That's pretty cool.
Last one is secret partner with corporate connections.
Mm.
What's your workspace like? Roll a d6.
Four.
Again. Four. God. Corporate, modular, utilitarian. So he's a focused one. The other options are there are screens everywhere. get the matrix. The matrix of monitors.
The architect. Just
two is it looks better in virtuality, I swear. Next one is the Roblox streamer, which is filthy bed covered in wires.
Nice.
Five is minimalist, clean, and organized. Six is it's taken over your entire living space.
It's like, I think as a nomad, that's kind of really difficult to do. Like, living room.
Yeah, you can't hack as a nomad, yeah.
Yeah, so honestly, the utilitarian, I feel like I would have to change that just because of being a nomad.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm thinking it would be minimalist.
Just minimalist, because, clean, yeah.
Because
yeah.
You're constantly on the move, you have to constantly keep going around.
Just
can we, Jake, I have a question.
What's that?
Can we roll together, and can we get a minivan and his stuff's all in the back of a minivan?
Sure, why not?
Then I can say it
would looks you be
better.
Down with that, Mark?
Can we, yeah, can we... that's fine.
That sounds awesome.
So me and Kelly's character are connected, and you and his character are connected.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's always how it happens.
It's always how it happens. Cool.
He's got a giant dish on the roof.
Just a big satellite dish.
We're bouncing your signal off satellites.
Oh, that's perfect.
We're using Elon's old Starlink.
Right.
Starlink satellites.
We're paying roughly $5,000 a month for it.
No, we're hacking that. We're pirating that
we're
shit.
We're hacking that.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you want to cross Elon?
Cool.
Actually, at this point, all of the satellites have probably fallen out of orbit.
I think that's actually an available upgrade for... Moto skills. I think you can get like a.
Really?
I'm looking right now. I think there's like an internet uplink or something like that.
You as the nomad got to look into that then, yeah.
I'm looking, yeah, right now, actually. But yeah.
All
right.
Go ahead. So let's get more Netrunner stuff. What are some of your other clients? So what did we say for the first one? Electric crack systems for the fun of it. Okay, so when you do work, let's see what you do for money. Five local nomads and fixers who use you to keep their family system secure.
That makes sense, then, I guess.
Yeah.
It's falling right in.
I was hoping you would get, like, steals credit card numbers from Target.
I have scanners everywhere.
Other options are local fixers who send you clients, local gangers who also protect your work area while you sweep for net threats, corporate execs who use you for black project work, local solos and combat types who keep you for their personal who use you to keep their personal system secure, local nomads and fixers. You work for yourself and sell whatever data you can find on the net.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be more that. Yeah. But no, I like the nomad one.
Nomad one, yeah. Where do you get your programs? So let's do a little sidebar here. So programs are like digital tools and weapons. So like certain programs are like, I'm going to use this program. So it's like a software it's your tool belt. It's your net running tool belt is pretty much what it is. So there are various programs that do various things. Sometimes you can make your own, and so a lot of it is just like, you know, it's your tool belt for when you go net running. But where do you get yours? Roll a d6.
Oh, sorry.
Radio Shack.
Five.
You have backdoors into a few corporate warehouses.
Oh, shit.
That's...
We pull up real quick in the van. I do some sick burnouts while you hack in and get your programs. And then we take off into the night.
It's that episode of Breaking Bad where they pull the van up with the mega magnet.
With the magnet.
It's like,
I also found the upgrade for the van. I'll read it off to you. I like this. Cool. Hang on. It is called Communication Center.
Easy access, easy accessible touchscreen console with onboard agent and storage space loaded with removable tech, 6 radio communicators, 6 scramblers, de-scramblers, a radio scanner, music player, a home tracer with 6 button-sized link tracers, and an audio recorder.
Oh my god, yes. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so where do you get your programs? Let me get on the list here. Dig around in old abandoned city zones.
I like that one.
Yeah, it
feels like very Fallout.
Yes, yeah, it does. Just find little microchips and stuff. Yeah. You steal them from other netrunners. You brain burn. So that's especially brutal. So
good.
So when netrunners fight, it ends. It is to the death.
Yeah.
Because when you netrun, if you take damage, it goes to your brain, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You do not recover. It's not like
you overheat them. Yeah,
taking a bullet is better than net running and taking damage. Like, it's bad.
Yep.
Yeah, when you when you think about it, when they net run, like, they have to cover your whole body in ice because how hot you get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's like the deep net running, and so that is very, very dangerous. But like, what he's going to be doing is he's going to be just like. Like remoting into stuff, mm-hmm. Much less involved, but still dangerous.
I just turned the AC on for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Put a fan on. AC, it's fine. Put a swamp filter in there.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those like sprayable air conditioning things where it's just literally a bottle of like super cold air?
Oh, I was just thinking of compressed air upside down, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, that too, yeah.
It's kind of what it is. And I burned myself very badly with it when I was young.
Yeah, that'll do.
Oh, I believe it.
Otherwise, you could have a local fixer supply programs in exchange for hack work. Pretty normal. Corporate execs supply you with programs in exchange for your services. So they like, hey, go hack at that other company. Or you hit the night markets and score programs whenever you can. So pretty normal stuff. Last question. Who's gunning for you?
That is a 4.
Is a 4 on a... You rolled a D6, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably GTX.
lawmen who consider you an illegal black hat and want to bust you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's correct.
The shit I'm doing.
Ain't wrong.
We are stealing corporate secrets.
Stealing corporate secrets. I hate that.
I don't know why these guys are running after me so much. All I'm doing is, like, stealing millions of Eddies.
No. It's okay. Technically, it all belongs to me anyway.
He just hasn't given it over to me yet.
He just hasn't given it to me yet.
I'm taking my inheritance in advance.
So the other options here are cool. So number one is you think it might be a rogue AI or net ghost. Either way, it's bad news.
That's so cool.
That's horrifying at the same time.
I know. It's horrifying. Rival netrunners who just don't like you. Corporates who want you to work for them exclusively. Old clients who think you screwed them over, or a fixer or another client who wants your services exclusively. So very, very cool stuff. I really love the whole Netrunner thing. I'm excited to get into that. Stats. Let's do some stats really quick here. You said you want to roll these two?
Yes. Actually, I'm not sure because I have to double check to make sure everything goes. So I might want to do that off air.
Okay, yeah, no, that's totally fine.
Because I'm looking at them and I'm like, yeah, I don't know exactly. Because the app that I'm using just went straight to, yeah, this is what you should have. I'm just like,
gotcha. Yep.
I'm looking and I'm like,
that's the exact same reason I didn't do it on air. I was like, ah,
yeah,
to do some research.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I mean, you're more than welcome to do it however you want. I mean, there's even like a point by system. There's also fast and dirty. Just here you go. Here's the basic stats. So,
I guarantee you that even though this is not a weekly show, I will probably be doing my stats 5 minutes before the next episode.
Oh, and found for the name. He only goes by the name Wisp right now.
Ooh, okay. Wisp.
Will-o'-the-Wisp?
Will-o'-the-Wisp. Yeah, because the way I'm kind of. Especially with the Bag Lady Chic, because he's going to be like wearing like those weird, long, dirty, tattered trench coats and stuff like that.
Okay.
But due to his heritage of being like British heritage, he's kind of pale.
Okay.
And just so, kind of stays out of the sun as much as possible.
So this didn't change your decision, but this maybe it's kind of cool though, because there is a black ice program. So let me get into this. Black ice are like enemies in the net. Mm-hmm. They're like little AIs that will literally fight you. And one of them is called a Wisp.
That's cool.
It is an anti-personnel black ice. And it says it's a little orb of light with a single minuscule eye crackling with energy. So if you want, that could just be your symbol. Wisp. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the way it's portraying, like, he's not going to have, like, superior strength or anything. No. So he's going to be more like, or like a Wisp, kind of like he looks like a strong wind could blow him down.
Yeah, yeah, I gotcha. Cool. So
Thaddeus sneezes and knocks him prone.
penalties.
Cool. So that is that's pretty much building that. We can go over gear and stuff like that. I kind of want to go over that, like how you guys are outfitted when we start up next time. That'll kind of be the intro there. But let me ask anybody if you have any questions. If you have any more details that you kind of want to expand on before we kind of wrap up for tonight.
I actually want to roll for a partner. I changed my mind.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm making two changes. I want to make all my motivation to be your word. Friendship just didn't make any sense because everything else about it, how I rolled, was just total loner. So
gotcha.
Okay. I'm changing it to like he's a man of his word and he cares about living by code. Gotcha. And I want a partner.
Okay. So we need to go back to lifestyle, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So lifestyle, and this was personality. Here we are. What do you value most? Is it this one? That's the one. Is it the
motivation? Was
okay. Yeah, motivation and relationships. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So what you had before for what do you value most? It was your word. Is that right?
Now it's my word. Yeah.
Now
it was friendship.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Okay. Sorry. So you went with your word there. So we went from friendship to your word. Cool.
Yeah.
And then it was you wanted to go with partner. That's right. Okay.
But I gotta have somebody in my life, even if I don't like them.
Fair enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So get a partner. Who? Roll a d6.
Cool. Three.
A possible romantic partner.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. So that just changes that. Tell me about this partner that you have.
Interesting. I guess she. I feel like it's somebody that. I don't think about this. Somebody who I've been kind of like rivals in the market, the night market with for a long time that okay. We just became like close over time just because we both stuck around so long.
Gotcha. Okay. So just sort of your tenure sort of brought you guys together and now it's kind mm-hmm. of a, maybe everyone in the neighborhood is sort of like a, are they or aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah. Will they, won't they?
Those two really should just get together.
Right. Anyone that you talk to is just like, hey, I saw you out with what's her name? Yeah.
Both our characters have relationship issues.
I think everyone has relationship issues.
Everyone has relationship issues.
I swear to God, every fight, like every tabletop game I play, I end up with a distant NPC lover that I just never get to interact with. Jake gets it because.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Our home games, yeah.
Benson, too.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's get into some gear. Not necessarily what you're going to be buying, but let's get into, like, what you guys want to do with your gear. Like, what do you want to do when it gets down to it, bullets start flying? What do you think your guy is going to be like?
I mean,
this is something I've been thinking about a lot because I was thinking about my character's title, mm-hmm. like what he's known for. I was thinking about doing the shotgun surgeon, but I don't know if I want to play another shotgun build, because that's what I did with Sloan Badmaw.
Shotguns are so cool in this game, though, because you can get different types of ammunition. You can get slugs, and you can get regular shotgun shells, and you can change them up on the fly.
Then maybe I'm going to do that. Yeah, he's the Thaddeus... Thaddeus Strom, the shotgun surgeon.
Thaddeus Strom, shotgun surgeon. I love that. That's good.
That's good.
Okay. All right. So the solo. So you're jacked, and you just have one of those like God, what brand was it in Cyberpunk 2077 that had the was it like Militech or something like that? They had the homing bullets like on their shotgun.
Maybe
shells.
Yeah.
But by the way, that's the thing. Homing bullets is a thing.
Everybody runs for cover. Thaddeus runs at them.
Cool.
So it's also the exact same build I played in Cyberpunk 2077. I went full shotgun.
It was a fun one. Yeah, it's a fun one. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So Jed, you said that that your guy, he was going to be.
I'm specking into shoulder arms and heavy weapons.
And heavy weapons. Okay.
Yep. So that I can have. Since he's obsessed with 80s action movies, he's got the exact replica of Schwarzenegger's M16 with the underbarrel grenade launcher.
Oh, that's such a good M16.
Yes, yes.
That exact one.
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
M16A1, underbarrel grenade launcher with a cool-looking heat guard.
That gun just gives you a bigger dick.
Also, I have to describe the van a little bit more because I just came up with the best idea. It is the minivan with the ridiculous airbrush picture on the side of it of a wolf.
Yes.
And in lettering next to it, it just says prodigal.
I thought you were gonna go with it's the van with the wizard shooting the lightning bolt.
I thought about the wizard, but I feel like he's got the wolf. He lives out in the desert, so he's going to have that wolf that looks like it's on every T-shirt you've ever seen at a truck stop.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yep.
Or and then it just in lettering underneath, it just says prodigal.
By the way, if I ever win the lottery, obviously I'll take care of all my finances and everything, but I will buy an old van and have some great artist paint a bitchin' wizard on the side of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I will unironically drive it around.
Yeah. It's also got, you know, like I said, it's got, it's like black and purple with the airbrush picture on the side of it. It's got jacked up tires on it because it's got to go out off-road all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Out in the wilderness. So, but yeah.
And AC.
NAC, obviously, and I'll have to check the rules, but I think you get one upgrade to start.
Yes, yeah.
Like it might be the first level up, but it's got the communication center in there for
nice
for Mark's character.
Very cool.
I'm just thinking when you said wolf at this, I was also going like, man, you could just put those bitchin' shades on him too, so it's like the
swing shades.
Yes, yes.
Like exactly laser wolf that. Or something.
Yep. Yes, laser wolf.
By the way, do I need to buy a pair of Pit Vipers to play this game, for fuck's sake?
Yes.
Yep. Everybody.
I was thinking about getting the white pair.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, those are good. All right, Mark Kelly, what are you guys thinking when it comes to gear and like what you're outfitted with?
Oh, it's going to be a little bit technical, I guess, with mine, just because I mean, I get a lot is cool, like the fun stuff that comes out, like virtuality goggles, because most Netrunners have them. So,
all of them have that. I think they come standard with like the mm-hmm. character kit. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the exact technicality of it because I was looking at the rule book with some of these things that you could maybe get later, mm-hmm. like with drones. Yep. But I don't know if that is something that can be sent out or that is something else. Like I'm still reading up on defense drones and stuff like that. Because I think it'd be cool shit to be able to like control a thing to attack. But
yeah, no. So when it comes to combat, yeah, you can control like a drone. Like as long as you have like I think there might be something you need to put into your cyber deck to control it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you can. So the only issue comes in is that if you want to start net running, you have to stop controlling it and then start net running, because you only have a certain number of like net actions in a turn.
Yeah.
So during net running, there's meat actions and net actions, and so
I like the meat actions.
Yeah. So you need to kind of balance that, but we can look into drones for you. We can look into that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's very much.
There's a lot.
Yes, there's a lot. Yeah. I would say the net running and all that kind of stuff is probably like, I'm going to say like a third, maybe like a fourth of the game. A fourth of the game is like that. And Kel, what is Haggle? What's he strapped up with?
Yeah, Haggle, he's got his crowbar. So he's got a heavy melee weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stick with that since that works well.
Okay.
And he's got a large caliber handgun. So he's going to go with a heavy pistol.
Okay.
I think for cyberware, he's going to have an amplified hearing. So okay. He can kind of keep tabs around his surroundings.
Yeah, yeah.
Hear well in the markets.
Forgot to mention cyberware too. There's some cool stuff
I don't know what else so far. I gave him a couple of flashbangs and a couple of smoke grenades to kind of help him manage shifty situations, escape.
Yeah, yeah.
Battlefield control kind of deal. He doesn't know how to drive.
Okay.
So he's if he ever needs to drive, we're in trouble. I want him to be a person who does not trust driving.
He's a walkable cities guy.
Yeah, he's a walkable cities guy. He gets anxiety behind the wheel.
Okay. Right.
Weird, because those don't exist in America.
Not at all.
Speaking of driving, for cyberware for my character, I took the interface plugs and the Neuralink.
Mm.
So my hands literally connect to the steering wheel, and it literally runs wires to my brain, so my brain drives the car instead of my hands.
Just drive like this.
Basically.
Just put on a VR headset.
Norman's going to be a guy who legitimately gets like motion sickness. He hates a vehicle.
Hates it.
I really hope we get into vehicle combat at some point. I really want that to happen. We're all shooting and he's just heaving out the side.
Norman like lives in like a 1 mile square, like a 1 mile radius of his dwellings. Like he doesn't go anywhere. He's a townie.
You've never been to the Grand Canyon?
I'd like to think you'd be dead by now without me.
Kel, I'm gonna correct you. So if you have your trusty crowbar, that is considered a medium melee weapon.
Really? Because Heavy said lead pipe.
Yes. So light, medium. So let me get on this list here. So light is combat knife and tomahawk. So it's 26. Medium weapon.
Crowbar is a medium. Yeah.
Yeah. So baseball bat, crowbar, machete is the medium. Heavy is lead pipe, sword, spiked bat.
I feel like you just slipped a lead pipe in the crowbar, honestly, but that's just me.
Very heavy melee weapon is chainsaw, sledgehammer, helicopter blade.
Yeah!
And a naginata.
We fucking now.
Because a fucking helicopter blade is the most unhinged shit you'll ever hear.
Oh, helicopter blade fucks.
Yeah.
It's essentially the Thanos weapon from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just,
helicopter blade.
I remember reading that.
Is it like actually a blade off a helicopter or is it like a specialized weapon?
Oh, no. No,
like the Thanos blade.
It's probably, obviously, it's like fitted or whatever, but yeah, it's
got a handle on it like a cricket bat.
Yeah.
All right, so medium melee weapon, heavy pistol.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we can get into the details and stuff like that later, but I guess, I mean, we're pretty much done with that. Like I said, this is our session zero. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we will make sure to have all these guys outfitted and ready to go by next episode. But man, I'm very excited for this. And guys, we're chipping in, as some would say.
It's going to be preem, chum.
I cannot fucking wait for this.
So next time we're gonna have music, we're gonna have an intro, we're gonna have some art, so it's just that, you know, if you guys are ready, it's coming. So keep an eye on the socials. Keep an eye on the Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. Go to our Discord. Check out our Reddit, subreddit and stuff like that, because all the stuff will be there. It's going to be a blast. So thank you, everyone, for watching. And we will see you in the next episode. Bye-bye. That's Nova. We'll be right back.